Luke chapter number 1, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. We're going to read several verses here out of Luke chapter number 1. We'll probably stop and make a couple of comments on the way. The Bible says we're not going to read verse number 1. We're going to skip all the way to verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was one of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Boy, wouldn't you love for that description to be made about you? If somebody was going to write something about you, I don't know of anything better to be written, but they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And Zacharias is doing his duty in the temple as a priest. He's in the temple one day, and all of a sudden an angel appears before him. And we see in verse number 12 that Zacharias is afraid. The Bible says, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." Something else that I would love to have said about me and my Christian life is that that we turn people to the Lord. You know, that was kind of the whole goal this past weekend by putting on this play. But you know what? The prayer that went in, I don't know about you guys, but I took some special time to pray about this past weekend, about people who were coming to the play, that God's presence would be real in this place, that conviction would be real. And I took some special time to pray about, but why am I not doing that every day? I mean, my goal every day, you know, I talk about my goal, that this kind of has become something that I say all the time, is to give God glory and to point others to the cross. So why am I not taking that special time every day? You know, there's been a lot of times in my Christian life that I pray and say, God, if it be your will for me to tell somebody about you today, put them in my path and help me to realize it. Well, I can tell you right now that it is God's will for me to tell somebody about his son Jesus every single day. I mean, he gave that commandment way back in the day. So I know it's his will for me to tell somebody about Jesus. So why don't I change my prayer to say, God, I know it's your will for me to tell somebody about Jesus. Help me to have the courage to do that. Help that to be at the top of my list today. You know, for some reason, we think that God has to just speak almost in an audible voice to us for us to witness to somebody. But there is nothing wrong with just telling somebody about how good God's been to you. I got to keep reading. That's not the message tonight. Verse number 16, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Now here this angel appears to him while he's in the temple. Miraculously, an angel appears to him and begins to tell him that y'all are going to have a child. You and Elizabeth are going to have a child. Even though you're old, you're going to have a child. And he even has that question in his mind, how shall I know that this is real? Because I'm well stricken in years. Now I would like to think that if an angel appeared to me and said, this is what's going to happen in your life, that I wouldn't have doubt in my mind or in my heart. But at the same time, how many times have we seen God do amazing things in our life, and yet when another situation comes along, we have doubt about that situation? So I'm not going to hold Zacharias too accountable here on my part, because I'm afraid I might be in the same boat. Verse number 19, "And the angel answered and said unto him, Listen, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, look, this is just my mind. I can't prove this. And I'm not really even trying to be funny, but it's almost like Gabriel was offended that Zacharias didn't believe what he had told him. Gabriel says, look, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've come to tell you this awesome message. I've come to tell you that you're going to have a child, even though you're old, that you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And I know that Elizabeth is supposed to be barren, but God's going to do a miracle in your life. And yet you're questioning. He said, so guess what? You're not going to speak until these things come to pass. In verse number 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. He had to stay there at the temple until his turn to do the obligations of the priest, that he could go home. So in verse number 23, he goes home. Verse number 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, again, was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You know, it's kind of almost the same question that Zacharias answered. I mean, different categories, of course. But Zacharias said, how is this going to be possible? Or how shall I know that this shall come to pass? And Gabriel said, okay, well, this is kind of going to be your sign. You're not going to be able to talk. Well, now here comes Mary, and Gabriel's bringing her a message that she's going to conceive a son, that he's going to be the Son of God. And she says, well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And I think even, now this I might be trying to be just a little bit cute. I think even Gabriel understood the question here. Here I am, I've never even been with a man, and you're telling me I'm going to have a baby? How in the world is this going to happen? Because there was no consequence for Mary asking this. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, he just begins to give her an explanation. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know, I know a lot of people that seem to still have questions. They say that they are believers in God. They say that they are children of God, and that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and yet they want to question the virgin birth. Well, my answer to that is I don't know how in the world the rest of it, you can believe the rest of it if you don't believe the foundation of it, and that is Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. That here, just as the angel explained to Mary that the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the High shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. If you can't believe the virgin birth, and I have no trouble at all believing the virgin birth tonight. If you can't believe the virgin birth, and I don't understand how in the world that you could believe that a man would live for 33 and some half years and give his life on a cross and 3 days later come again, because it all starts with the virgin birth right here in Luke chapter number 1. But I'm going to go back for just a minute. I want us to go back to verse number 26. I want us to notice a couple of key scriptures here, or key ideas that sort of hit me right in the head as I was reading this. In verse number 26, I want you to notice what happens and what the Word of God says. It says, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. the first three verses, words in verse number 27 to a virgin. Now, as we look at verse number 26 and verse number 27, I want you to notice something specific in this, that God knew exactly where Mary was at. The Bible don't say that God sent his angel Gabriel to seek out where Mary may have been. The Bible doesn't say that God sent Gabriel and said, I want you to go find Mary. But the Bible says in verse number 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. God knew exactly where Mary was at. Now, from the best I can understand, Mary was not a well-known lady. She was not someone that was wealthy. She was not someone that would have been considered very important. She was not someone of a great standing. She was not very important, wealthy, or very recognized there in that day. But I want you to know something, that God had a special plan for her and knew exactly where Mary was at. And as God said, I want you to go to Mary, he says, I'm going to send you to the specific place where she's at. He knew exactly where Mary was at. And one reason that I'm encouraged by that tonight is, as I look at my life, I'm not a very important person. I'm not someone of great wealth. I'm not someone of great importance. I'm not someone that, you know, if I died tomorrow, you say, well, there'd be a lot of people that knew you died, because you know a lot of people in the community. But when you take into the whole account of the population of the world, I'm very small and nobody really knows who I am. But I'm glad tonight that the God in heaven, the creator of all, the maker of all, knows exactly where I am right now, standing here on this platform at Fellowship Baptist Church. I'm glad that I'm serving a God that I don't have to worry about whether he knows where I'm at or what's going on in my life. I don't have to worry about whether he knows what I need tomorrow or what I've done yesterday or whatever. God knows exactly where I'm at, just as he did Mary. And he said, Gabriel, I want you to go down, and I want you to go to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and I want you to find this virgin espoused to a man whose name is Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I'm glad tonight that God knows exactly who I am. He knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly what I'm going through. He knows what I'm going to go through tomorrow. He knows my heartbreak that nobody else may know about. He knows my burdens that nobody else may know about. He knows stuff about me that Autumn doesn't know about me, which is good and bad at the same time. But God knows everything about me. He knows exactly where I'm at tonight. I'm glad that I'm serving a God that I don't have to report to in order for him to know anything about me. Well, preacher, you talk about praying all the time and having conversations with God. Hey, that's a lot for my benefit. That's so that I got that relationship with God and I'm keeping that communication open, because God knows exactly where I am and what I need every single day. As we go into this Christmas season, and I'm so excited about it. I love Christmas. Seems like for the most part, people are happier. They're thinking about other people more. They're looking, well, you think of it that way until you go to Walmart and try to get something. But just in our minds, we think that people are nicer this time of year. You know, some of us get Scrooge-like every now and again. But for the most part, people seem not. But you know what? There are people that this time of year is really tough for. There are people, I know we've mentioned it the last couple of Wednesday nights, there's people who are going to go through this Christmas time, this holiday season, and it's going to be the first time that they enter in to this time of family and friends without a loved one. It's going to be the first time that they've gone through this with maybe a major change in their life of some kind. And even though sometimes, I think I heard, I've heard several of you say it, so I won't point out no names, but I've heard some of you say before, you didn't know what was going on in my life because I put on a pretty face and came to church anyway. I hid it from you. I didn't want you to know what I was going through. I didn't want you to know the hurt that was really happening in my life right after I went through something in my life. And maybe you put on your pretty face and you hide it from everybody else. But aren't you glad tonight that you got a God that knows exactly what you're going through, that can reach down and comfort you in the middle of that when nobody else knows what you can't put on a pretty face for God, because God sees plumb to the depths of our heart tonight. I'm glad that God knows exactly where I am, and it's not because of anything that I have to offer him, but it is because of what he offered me on the cross of Calvary through his son, Jesus Christ. In verse number 26, he said, hey, the Bible says that he sent Gabriel unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse number 28, I want you to look. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I want you to know tonight that if you're here and you're a child of God, you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, I want you to know tonight that you are highly favored, that you have been smiled upon. And you say, well, preacher, that sounds like some of that preaching like Lynn Weddle would do. Well, I want to tell you something. That was very good, by the way, in the play. I enjoyed that part. But that is not something that we just sit around and go, oh, I'm so highly favored. But I want you to know tonight that for a God that created everything to know who you are, know you by name, for that to be your place in life, for that to be what makes you important, for that to be what makes you wealthy, those treasures unseen that they sing about sometimes on Sunday morning, I want you to know tonight that you are highly favored. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I know this is hard for us to even understand or to comprehend unless you've been there, and I haven't actually been there, but if we lost everything that we have that this world offers, if we lost everything that every possession that we have, and I know that would be so tough, and I don't ever want to go through that, so I don't want to be one of those people that stands here and goes, well, I will boast and just say, man, this is what I don't know what I would do, and I don't ever want to know. I don't want to ever be there. But I'm telling you, if we'll really look at what we have in Jesus Christ, if we lost everything, every possession that this world has given us or that this world offers us, we are still highly favored. To know that God knew us to the depths of our heart. Now, we were talking about God knowing us just a minute ago, and we were talking about how wonderful it is that God knows us, and God knows exactly where we are, and God knows everything about us. And this is what I meant for a few minutes ago when I said, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because God don't only know all of my good stuff, but God knows all of my bad stuff too. See, God knows stuff about me and my heart and my mind and my tongue that y'all don't know. Oh no, preacher, here you go. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I'm human just like y'all. You ever been riding down the road and just maybe just having a good day and even thinking about how pretty it is outside or whatever, and all of a sudden a thought go across your mind and you go, where in the world did that come from? I have. Well, you know what? You don't know that thought, but me and God know that I had that thought. Me and God know my heart. And what amazes me is that even though that God knows my good stuff, which the Bible tells me that my righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight, but God knows my good stuff, if there is any, but God also knows all of my bad stuff, and yet he chose to call me highly favored and allow his son Jesus Christ to come give his life for me. That just blows my mind. That absolutely just, I cannot comprehend the love of God, that he loved me that much, that even though that sometimes my life goes completely against God and everything that his word stands for, And yet he loved me so much that he allowed his son to come give his life for me. What would you do if you gave somebody a gift and they just trampled it? They was just unappreciative of it. If they just wouldn't even, they took it so for granted. And I mean, just think about how we take our salvation for granted sometimes. Somebody was saying something the other day about after they had cancer, they took a look at their life and they realized how much they took some little stuff in their life for granted. You know what? We all take stuff for granted every single day. And there's so much stuff in my salvation that I take for granted. And God knew that I was going to do that. And still, he gave his son for me. You know, some of you have reached out and helped people before. Anybody ever helped somebody and then seen them just absolutely trample your help? And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest with my heart tonight. And then when I see them, I've helped them, and you can just see. Now, I'm not talking about enabling people, but I see them be so unappreciative of what I've done for them. And then just absolutely just take it for granted. You know what I most of the time do? I mark them off my list and say, I'm done. But aren't you glad that God didn't mark us off his list? When he reaches down and picks us up out of our failures and our faults, and then we go right back to it anyway, that he don't reach down and just mark us off the list. Boy, I'm glad that God don't do that. Look, And when she saw us, verse number 28, an angel come and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Let's continue reading. Let's drop down to verse number 30. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, as we look at verse number 31, I would assume it is in your Bible, but in my Bible, Jesus is wrote in all capital letters. There is just something about the name of Jesus, isn't there? I've been in places where I didn't know what to do. I've been in places where I was troubled, burdened, about to give up. But when I just mention the name of Jesus, I can feel the power in the name of Jesus. I can feel love in the name of Jesus, mercy and grace and comfort and peace and forgiveness. There is just something about the name of Jesus. Because you know what? I can get in those shapes and I can call any other name and it still doesn't have an effect. But when you call the name of Jesus and you know who you're talking to and who you're talking about, there is power in the name of Jesus. This name, he says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." I'm glad tonight that just naming the name of Jesus that I can find power in my life with that. I'm glad that when I name the name of Jesus that I can realize that there has been mercy and grace and forgiveness given to my life, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Verse number 32, "He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Most Highest, and the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David." Now I want you to notice as in verse number 31, the Bible says, "And thou shalt conceive in thine womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." As we see as Mary is conceiving the baby Jesus there in her heart. What an honor to be chosen to conceive Jesus in your womb. What an honor it must have been as the Son of God is living right on the inside of Mary. None of us men understand what it is to have a baby on the inside of you. My wife talks about it, and she can talk about it right now, and the tears just run down her cheek, talking about our kids and the closeness that she felt while she was carrying our kids. That personal relationship that a mama has with that baby growing on the inside of her. I ain't never felt it and don't ever want to feel it, but I'm just telling you. It's unexplainable. Only a mama knows what that's like. And you ladies sitting here tonight can sit here and say, "Man, I know what you're talking about. And yeah, what an honor to be chosen to conceive Jesus in the womb. But I'm glad tonight that I was chosen to receive Jesus. I didn't conceive, but I received Jesus into my life, and he actually lives right on the inside of me." See, sometimes I think that we forget that my body is now a temple of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, all three make up the Trinity. It's all a deity, and even as we're looking at Mary tonight, Mary was a very special woman. The Bible said she was highly favored, but she is not deity. Let's go ahead and lay that down. Jesus Christ is deity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me tonight. As we look at Mary and you say, "Well, how wonderful that must have been for Jesus to be living right on the inside of her and for that to have that personal relationship." Well, I'm going to tell you what, we have the same opportunity for God, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to live right on the inside of us and to have that personal relationship with him tonight. It's not that I'm worshiping a God that's hung up on a picture at my house. I'm not serving a God tonight that I have a little statue sitting on the mantle and I'll walk by and see him from time to time. But it's a God that no matter where I'm at, he is right there with me. What a wonderful thing to have tonight. To have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us. You know, the Bible doesn't really give any examples of Mary telling anyone. Actually, the Bible may even say something kind of contradictory to that, because there the night that she was born, as the shepherds and everybody were telling about the things, the Bible says that she pondered the things in her heart and kept them there in her heart. But if Mary kept it to herself, what a wonderful thing had happened to her. If Mary was able to carry baby Jesus and to give birth to baby Jesus and not tell anyone about, "Hey, I was a virgin and an angel come to me and told me I was going to have a baby. And you know what? This baby that's on the inside of me, it's the Son of God." If Mary was able to keep that to herself, I don't know exactly how she did that. But I also don't understand how we have something so wonderful in our lives that we keep to ourselves. I don't know how we have something, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, how Jesus must have changed her life. The fact that Jesus Christ was conceived there in Mary, it changed her. It defined her. And I want you to know that the fact that we have received Jesus Christ, it definitely has changed us, and it should define us. It should be who we are. Her life was defined by the one chosen to conceive Christ. Our lives should be defined as the ones chosen to receive Christ. If she kept it to herself that all these wonderful things had happened unto her, I don't know how in the world she done it, but I don't know why in the world sometimes I keep it to myself what a wonderful change that Jesus Christ made in my life. Man, I know everybody thinks about presents and everything this time of year. Listen, Christmas morning, when my kids open their presents, I'm going to be just as surprised as they are. My wife does all of that. I don't have a clue. Only thing I know is I see the bank account. That's the only thing I see. I'm watching. I can about tell you what it costs, but that other than that, I have no clue what my kids are getting for Christmas. Actually, probably Christmas Eve, we'll sit down and wrap a few gifts, and I'll go, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Where'd you get that at?" And that'll be the biggest clue I've got for Christmas morning. But, you know, with my kids and their Christmas, I want to see them have some presents and different things. And, you know, we all sometimes are trying to pick out the perfect gift to give someone. We want to give somebody something that they can use, that they'll really appreciate. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is a gift that we need to be given this lost and dying world. That it will absolutely not only change their life, but change their eternity. Why in the world would we keep it to ourselves? Why in the world? Listen, I'm going to tell you something, church. Would you agree that your salvation is worth more than $1 million? Yeah, I would. My salvation is worth more than $1 million. I'm going to tell you something, though. If y'all feel led as a church to give me $1 million, I will take it. And I will tell everybody I know. Why in the world wouldn't I tell them about something that's worth way more than $1 million? Sometimes my head ain't screwed on right. Sometimes I don't put in perspective what eternity is and the good and the great gift that I have in Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I've been highly favored, that I've been chosen. And you say, well, what do you mean? The Bible says that I was chosen before the foundations of the world, that Jesus Christ would give his life for me. I don't understand it. Don't know why, but why in the world do we keep that gift to ourselves? Sometimes it's tough. It is so tough. You know what? If I kill a big old deer, I'll put that thing on Facebook. I don't Facebook much, but I'll put that thing on Facebook. I want everybody to see my deer. I've seen people, I've never done this yet. I ain't killed one that big yet, but I've seen people ride them around the back of the truck till they about stunk from being rotten because they wanted everybody to see that thing in the back of their truck. We'll brag on something like that, and we want everybody to see it. Why are we not like that with Jesus Christ? That's just an example. It's so easy to get caught up and telling people about stuff in this world that there's so much enjoyment in, and that's all fine and dandy. But we're dealing with people's eternity. Sitting there looking at those teenagers this morning, sharing the gospel with them, talking to them about choices that you make. Man, there are choices that we make here that will influence the rest of our life, but there's also choices that we make here on this earth that's going to influence the rest of eternity and other people's eternity. We need to be given the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. What a gift we have. Let's share it. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing without you, and yet you call me highly favored. God, I'm not worthy to stand here tonight, but yet you call me one of your children. God, I know that I fall and come short and fail, and yet you still extend mercy and grace and forgiveness to me. And God, I just want to tell you thank you. But God, I pray that you will help me to be more adamant, to be more excited, to have more of a desire to tell others about Jesus Christ, to give them something that not only will change their life, but will change their eternity. God, we want to thank you for this Christmas season. And what it really means to us, the fact that Jesus Christ was willing to come and give his life on an old rugged cross for somebody like me. God, I want to thank you and I want to praise you. And as we go through this season, God, and as we meet with family, as we have opportunities to talk with our friends, God, I pray that you'll help us just to give them the gospel and to share Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.